It's The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Truth, Sherwin Hughes. Our phone number is 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. William Jefferson Clinton slated to speak tonight. Also, Vice Presidential nominee Tim Walz is going to address the nation and the world. Give us an opportunity to hear what he has to say and give us a chance to get to know him. Also, not exactly fitting in the star-studded nature of the two individuals I just mentioned, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson is slated for a primetime speech tonight at the DNC. What is Chevy even going to say? Like, what is he going to?
Hi. Thank you, Chicago. I sound a lot like Barack Obama.
Shout out to Chevy, but not sure how he fits into the whole thing. Let's talk to Angela. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
I'm well, Sherwin. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Angela. What's on your mind?
Yes, I wanted to chime in about a comment you made in one of your previous callers. You were talking about America not being ready for a woman president in 2016, and they may be ready now. I mean, technically, they was ready, and technically, she won, you know, a popular vote. Technically, she won. And, you know, I just wanted to make, just basically wanted to say that regardless of how we feel, you know, we all know that, you know, if the United States ain't good in anything else, they good in making any enemies, you know, foreign and domestic enemies. And the last thing they want to do is put a woman in charge of our national security. You know, regardless of how we feel, the ultimate deciders are the electoral vote. And we don't, I think it's, you know, interesting that we don't even know who is all consists of that electoral vote. But ultimately, our votes don't make the decision on who's going to be the president. The electoral vote, it's a mere suggestion box of this corporation that we call the United States of America. The ultimate deciders is who are the real stakeholders. And whether we like it or not, Trump is the better candidate.
Better candidate for what?
Take all the emotion out for president. What else
president,
is he
president of what? So before we engage in
United
this.
United States.
Okay. So the Electoral College
does
not.
I know you're a Democrat.
Hold on, Angela. Regardless of party, we got to get some facts straight because I'm not sure if you've
tidily
had this all sorted out.
Okay,
hang on, Angela. So the Electoral College, they're not like secret people that nobody knows who they are. They're selected by members of their respective political parties. Like, they are very public individuals. So they're not some shadowy group. That's number one. Number two, the popular vote in a state, if won by either party, activates the Electoral College members selected by that political party. So it's not like the popular vote can go in one direction. The Electoral College can make a whole bunch of separate decisions. I think that was tried maybe once and that person got sued in court. So they can't just make an independent decision. So if Kamala Harris wins the state of Wisconsin, then the Democratic slate of electors will cast their ballots to give the 10 electoral votes to Kamala Harris. So it is based off the popular vote. And maybe I should have been a little bit more clear when I said that we weren't ready for a woman president in 2016. Women, white women in particular, weren't ready for a woman president because white women voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. Once you take reproductive rights and freedoms away from women, then white women are deciding, oh, maybe it's time we vote for a woman. So I should have been a little bit more clear.
There's no freedoms been taken away.
And look, ain't none been taken away from me, but I think you might want to have a different conversation with a woman who might be forced to carry a dead fetus to term.
But if you're here,
okay, it actually is. But I'm not here to discuss that with you. So I'm going to let you condense your comments, and I got to take another call.
I bet you do.
You know that you probably called the wrong radio show, though, because first of all, you started off not knowing how a president is elected, so that made everything else you say after that completely non-credible.
I do know exactly how, and I'm saying that the primary vote and who's determining who's going to be the elect, you know, the president is not just the popular vote. Trump made Kamala may win the popular vote. But she's not going to win the electoral vote.
I just explained to you how the electoral college. Okay, that's ridiculous. Like, why am I going back and forth with people that don't even know Civics 101? Do I need to go over this? If a candidate wins the popular vote in a particular state, let's say Donald Trump wins the state of Wisconsin, the Republican Party of Wisconsin selects 10 individual people. Prior to the election certification, those 10 individual, actually, no, when the election is certified, when all the ballots are counted and canvassed and all of the things, okay, the 10 electors selected by the Republican Party of Wisconsin cast their votes for the Republican candidate that won the popular vote. That is how the Electoral College plays into selecting the president. But it's based on the popular vote of every state. But I thought we knew that. Apparently Trump supporters don't, which makes sense to me. You know that her last name is Grisham. I can't think of what her name was. She was a former staff member for Donald Trump and said she spent her holidays at Mar-a-Lago, Christmas, Easter, was with him all the time and saw him when the cameras weren't rolling. You know what Donald Trump calls his supporters? Basement dwellers. If he wasn't disrespectful enough to America, to democracy, to civil liberties, to people's health care, et cetera, he calls his own supporters basement dwellers. He also brags about loving the poorly educated, and it's just sad to see some of our fellow Americans so steeped in his nonsense that they can no longer see reality. Let's talk to Al. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Everything is fine. Good morning. But what I wanted to say to the Trump supporters, you got to get rid of that slave mentality, because what's going on, it has messed you up so mentally. You have adopted this ass-whooping mentality. No matter how much he beat me and dragged me out the house, I'm still going to love his dirty draws. This man have never fought in the war. He's a draft dodger. He can't even get credit in their own place to where it says make America great, which means make America white. But even with America, they won't even adopt. They won't even give your master alone. Now, they say ignorance is bliss, and sometimes stupidity is like a wildfire, and if you don't stomp it out, it can do damage. But somewhere down the line, you got to get off that red wagon, because they done took the wheels off and told you roll to the other side. So please stop looking stupid. Where we are right now, it's about change, growth, wisdom, and diversity. And it's getting to the point that you have been robbed of that. But if it's that hard, please buy a mirror and talk to yourself, because nobody is listening. And if he can call you a basement dweller, what do you really think he thinks about you mentally? But every vote counts, and we also have to do our part in voting. So let's keep it 100 and just keep pushing forward, because right now, those with the slave mentality will always see themselves as a slave, and they always will be blindsided to bull sugar, honey, iced tea. And no matter how much sugar you put on Dookie, it is still Dookie. Have a great day. Gotta go.
Oh, all right then, Al. That's very nice of you to say that. Donald Trump's one-time White House press secretary, Stephanie Grisham, that's her name, Stephanie, told delegates at the DNC that Trump, when out of the public eye, would mock his supporters and refer to them as basement dwellers, the Los Angeles Times reports. She added, on a hospital visit one time when people were dying in the ICU, Trump was mad that the cameras were not watching him. He has no empathy, he has no morals, and no fidelity to the truth. Let's talk to Linda. You're on 101.7 The Truth.
Good morning, Professor. Good morning, Karma Brand. And good morning to all the good black and white people of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. I had to call after that last caller. Man, that was painful to listen.
And she's calling back. And here's the thing. I know who she is, and she's using a fake name. So, Chanyelle, why don't you just use your real, like, stand on it? Like, if she's going to call and say that stuff, then she needs to, like
yeah,
be who
why
you
not?
Are. I know who she is. I've known her for years. And I didn't know that she went this far off the damn deep end. But I think she might have her time mixed up, because she probably should be calling at 1 o'clock instead of at 10.
Well, I like to say, again, that was painful to listen to, and why they hate highly educated, successful black men and women. I mean, it just shows, right? But it also is necessary for us to have your class in civics and politics, Sherwin. And one of the commenters in the gallery had the same idea I had. And that's to sell merchandise with your statements, like, you know, have sayings on the T-shirt that Sherwin always says. And, you know, that can help finance some of that, offset that, some of the finances. But I'm fired up, too. I am so fired up because, boy, I tell you, when she said that when Michelle said that, you know, they hate the highly educated, successful black men and women. This is the racist nightmare, and why I wished I was ready for my school right now. I'm telling you, when we were at the last Beyond the Mic, I met all the ladies. I'm telling you, not really a city girl would be my she would be my office manager. I'm telling you, I wish I had my school right now, because a lot of the Truth Nations I would hire, for real. Not really a city girl. She's definitely that, you know, that she likes to read details, and she would definitely make sure the contract is legit. She's that type of, you know, person that catches small things and reads the every little I and T. And some of the ladies there, oh, my God, I would definitely hire them for my school. I'm telling you, I'm getting ready for my school, Sherwin. I'm rising up every morning earlier now.
Linda.
Just to, you know, get into that frequency of change is here, and I want to be prepared for change. I don't want to be like a lot of these people out here that didn't prepare for today, so they walking around, you know, sad, mad, and depressed. You have to be prepared for the future by getting ready today. Get educated, man. But what were you going to say, Sherry?
You've been talking about this damn school for 3 years now. Have we made any progress? First of all, what kind of school is going to be? Is it going to be a charter school?
What?
Is it a learning center? Is it a damn daycare? What kind of school is it, Linda?
See, I got three business proposals, plans I'm working on. One of them just got approved. I got a $5,000 reward for it. And so I'm processing two more business plans, one for my school. And one is, you know, I got three projects I'm working on, too, for 2025.
Wonderful.
You know?
Keep us posted.
So, yes.
Keep us posted.
Yeah, I will. I will. You know I will, Sherwin, because I have to pick your brains for, you know, everything that I don't know.
Linda. Sound like you need me to be a staff person, and I'm extremely expensive.
I know that, and I agree with you. I think that we should pay people for their excellence.
Oh, God, absolutely.
That's why I love tipping, and that's why I'm generous in my giving. When someone is good, whether it's a, you know, beautician, I give extra tips, because we shouldn't be so cheap with our own, you know, and we shouldn't be cheap with quality. So I would pay you the top of the dollar and some for your intellectual services.
And some, huh? Okay. That's
okay.
Thank you, Linda. That's
all right. So I'm getting it ready, though.
I'll bet you are. Get it real ready. All right. Good luck. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, then. Linda said just the tip. So who is in this damn chat talking about selling T-shirts with my sayings on them. Y'all bet not. That's my money. My T-shirts. You can't be selling T-shirts. Let me clear up something Linda says. I'm not. The class, we did this back in 20. We did one in 2013 and another one in 2015. So it's like a campaign, political campaign training course. It's an all day event, kind of like a retreat, where we instruct people on what political campaigns consist of, everything from messaging and fundraising and campaign finance and reporting and how you do campaign correspondences, commercials, direct mail, all the different people that are involved, the campaign manager's role, the political director's role, et cetera, because we don't have enough people that are versed in the technical aspects of political campaigns. And when the last time we did one, it was very, very successful in that a number of people used the information they got from that one day retreat to run for office successfully. And we need another one, because in the next 3 or 4 years, there's going to be a tremendous amount of turnover in the elected positions that we have right now. A lot of folks are not running for reelection. A lot of people are already vying for other opportunities and other jobs. Some people are going to go to the private sector. And what I'm concerned about is we may have some really good momentum here in the city of Milwaukee. We may have great allies in Congress. We may have a great ally in the White House. But I don't know if we are prepared in the city of Milwaukee, and we need all the preparation we can get. In the event that Cavalier Johnson decides he's offered and then decides to take a position in the Harris-Walz administration, I think it's looking like they may offer him something. Who's the mayor? Who's going to be the mayor of the city of Milwaukee? By default, it's going to be Jose Perez. And I don't know what you know about him, and I don't know how you feel about him, but I think that there are better people for that job. He just doesn't have the personality and the temperament to lead this city. He just doesn't. It's not his fault. He's born the way he is born. He just doesn't have it. But we don't have people at the ready to fill some of these positions. I know several older persons are not running for re-election in 2028. I don't want to out them because I want them to tell you that they're not seeking re-election. But a number of them are not running. Who do we have? Because they got to be folks that share a vision that we have for this city. And what I don't want is just people randomly go and get 200 nomination signatures, get on the ballot, and just win by default. Like, we need real dedicated public servants that aren't just trying to win a popularity contest. You know, the common council members gave themselves a raise. You're going to have half of the candidates are going to run in 2028 just want the money. They're not concerned about the job. They're not concerned about actually helping people and delivering efficient city services. They just want the job, because once you get elected alderperson, you can pretty much do whatever you want. The job description is like you're assigned committees and you got to take votes when the full council meets twice a month. Other than that, you can do whatever you want. You don't even have to come to work. There's a number of alderpersons that, and they don't have to go to City Hall. In fact, we would prefer that they would be out in the community mixing and mingling and talking to residents and getting their concerns down on paper. But you don't even have to go to work. You can totally disappear. And I fear that we may get folks like that that won't be dedicated to the actual craft of governing. So we got to get more people that know all the details of campaigns. And I'm reminded by the attempted recall of school board members, which was a fantastic idea, because that's what's supposed to take place. If you are unhappy with the representation that you are getting, there's a way in which you can mount a recall election to remove these folks from office. And it happens all of the time. And that is your right as a voter. That's one of the beautiful things about this democracy. Every now and again, people get elected and we don't like their output, or the needs of people change. The needs of the voters change. And sometimes elected officials can't respond to those changes. They got to go. And there's a way in which we can remove them. But if we don't know the technical aspects and the tactics of political campaigns and how they work and how you raise money and how you message to people and how you get volunteers, et cetera, then we're going to fall on our face time and time again. And I don't want that to happen anymore. So we're going to get this whole thing figured out. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back shortly.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back. 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
This
This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
And laughter around.
I think I got Barack Obama still speaking in the background on one of my taps. Oh, look, there he is, still giving his speech. Our phone number is 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. The next Beyond the Mic. We're going to start promos soon. We just ain't started them yet. Next Beyond the Mic is going to be Friday, August 30th at Mr. B's Lounge, 8617 West Brown Deer Road. Friday, August 30th. I think it's the last one. I don't know. Maybe there'll be a September surprise. Who knows? Maybe we'll do a special version of Beyond the Mic at a location that is yet to be determined, so we can all have a 101.7 The Truth with Sherwin Hughes debate watch party. I think that would be fun. In fact, you know what? We need to do a debate watch party. I don't know if The Truth is going to be a part of it. Maybe. I might just do a debate watch party where I'm going to pick a place that's obviously going to have good food. Clearly, there's going to have to be catfish there for you all. And we'll do a debate watch party. I think it is September 10th, which I highly doubt is on a weekend. What day of the week is that? That's when the debate is, right? September 10th. I'm pretty sure it's September 10th. Yeah, on a Tuesday, September 10th. I'll keep y'all posted. In the meantime, let's talk to Michael. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you, Michael?
I'm fine. Good morning to you. I just have a question.
All right.
If our mayor speaks at the convention and Kamala decides to offer him a cabinet position, and I know Perez would assume the mayoral duties, do you think Mandela Barnes would run for mayor?
No.
Oh.
I mean, that's... No, he wouldn't.
That's my only question.
All right, well, he wouldn't run. Stranger things have happened, Michael. Because Mandela has asserted himself on the national scene. You know, when he ran for the U.S. Senate, in fact, Kamala Harris was stumping for him when he ran against Ron Johnson for Senate. A lot of times, once people get a taste of the national, and he also has a political action committee where he's raising money for young black candidates who are running for political office all over the country. So Mandela gets to go to Washington, D.C., and he goes to Georgia, and he goes to California. He's all over the country. And once you get a taste of that national action politically, you don't want to come back and be local. And plus, Milwaukee is too hard of a city to govern. This is an impossible city because nobody is happy. So if I were him, he's living on Easy Street right now. He's probably making six figures, traveling all over the place. He would be stuck here in Milwaukee dealing with unresolved issues that other elected officials simply could not fix. And I don't think he wants to burden himself with that.
Okay. Last question.
Okay.
If Perez assumes the position, do you think, I think his name is Donnelly, he would possibly try to run again?
Who now? Donovan. Bob Donovan?
Donovan.
No,
yes.
I don't think he will. He can't win. The people that share his philosophies, they're too small in number. His vote, because he ran for mayor twice. He never got more than 32% of the vote. I think the first time he ran, he got 30%. The next time he ran, he got 32%. He cannot get 50% plus 1%. He simply can't because his philosophies are not very popular with Milwaukee voters. So, and maybe he tries, but he can't get elected mayor of this town. We probably will have a black or Hispanic mayor in Milwaukee from here on out. But I also think the white folks don't want to deal with the issues and problems of majority-minority city.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I keep listening.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too, Michael. Bye. Michael said, I have one question, and I got one more. Evan Goyke might try. He was the recently elected city attorney. He's taking kind of like a roundabout path to becoming mayor, and a lot of times that doesn't really work. If you want to be mayor in the city of Milwaukee, there actually is a traditional path. It starts off with you being in state government, being in the state assembly, and then probably promoted to the state senate, then running for mayor. That usually works. But you've had a couple of folks, especially black folks, that thought that they could get elected sheriff countywide and then run for mayor in the city of Milwaukee. That happened at least three times. Sheriff Artisan was elected. When was he elected sheriff? He was the first black sheriff. I might have been in the 80s. I think he was elected in the late 80s, mid 80s, early 90s, something like that. He ran for mayor, lost. Then there's another guy. Oh, I know you remember this fella.
Hey, my name is David Clark. Hey, Sheriff David Clark.
He got elected sheriff. He first was appointed in 02. Then he had an election in the fall of 02. He was reelected in 2006 and 2010. Then he became a crazy Tea Party person. David Clark thought that he was going to be appointed in a Trump administration. Apparently, Trump didn't even want David Clark. But David Clark ran for mayor in 2004 because he thought that getting elected sheriff would help him with Milwaukee voters. Now, I got a third example. So let me just, Danita Ball, who's sheriff right now, don't run for mayor. You're not going to win. Let me give you a third example. A guy named Ernell Lucas was a cop for a long time, retired being a cop. Then he did security for Major League Baseball for like 20 years. Then he decided he wanted to come and run for sheriff on a very partisan platform back in 2018 during the midterm elections of Donald Trump's presidency. Ernell Lucas gets elected sheriff and then almost immediately decides that he wants to run for mayor. Ernell Lucas came in like third or fourth or fifth in that crowded mayoral primary. And when was that, y'all? 2020? 21? I don't know, all the years were running together. But Ernell Lucas didn't, and he spent a bunch of money. Ernell Lucas raised probably close to $200,000, and like Lena Taylor, who raised $13,000, got more votes than Ernell Lucas. Here's the moral of the story for those of you that are thinking about taking the end-around way to becoming mayor. I'm going to make it abundantly clear and concise so y'all understand, so we don't continue to make these same mistakes. Sheriff Artisan ran for mayor, lost. Sheriff David Clark ran for mayor, lost. Ernell Lucas ran for mayor and lost. All three of those men black. All three of those men were county sheriffs. Milwaukee doesn't vote for cops. Sorry. We just don't. And think about it, right? Let's be practical for a second. Why would we? Why would we want a cop that would probably give all sorts of favoritism to the cops that we think need to be reformed? Milwaukee doesn't vote for cops. And yes, a sheriff is a cop. They're a county cop, but they're a cop nonetheless. Y'all want to vote for a cop, you go ahead. But most of us sensible people, and this is no offense to the cops, y'all just suck as elected officials. Now, if you're a prosecutor, different. But a cop? Nah, we'll pass. Even if you're black. Sorry. Sometimes that blue line supersedes their black skin. So we don't vote for cops here. And no offense, just don't think that you can get elected as a cop and then, oh, they'll vote for me for mayor. No, that's never, like literally never going to happen. Don't try to cop your way into the mayor's office. That'd be a disaster. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Our phone number is 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. So now I'm over here getting text messages from people that are mad that I hang up on them when they are spewing nonsense. Like, y'all gotta know, you know, I'm not obligated to take anybody's call. I think sometimes people think, like, oh, I have freedom of speech. I can call talk radio. That's not how freedom of speech works. Freedom of speech means you can criticize the government without the government arresting you. That's freedom of speech. That's pretty much it. If you think that freedom of speech is I can say whatever I want, I got freedom of speech. All right, go cuss your boss out. No, no, go do it, freedom of speech. No, no, go ahead. And then call us and let us know how that works out for you. And then while you're cussing your boss out, say, I have freedom of speech. Aha, you can't do nothing to me. Oh, yes, they can. They'll fire you. I got to say this every so often. If you are listening to any kind of media, watching media, consuming media, it could be anywhere, and you find yourself like so fundamentally disturbed by what you're hearing because it doesn't match your worldview, it doesn't make any sense to you, what you're hearing doesn't, it sounds foreign almost, it doesn't match your experiences at all, instead of trying to change the mind of the person who is saying things that don't match your worldview, you got a couple of options, okay? Go find someone else or some other more sympathetic media that does match your worldview, because I assure you, no matter what you think, there is someone that sees the world just like you. So that's one option. You go and find someone that has your same worldview so you can go and agree with them. Or you can just not listen to it. But what never works is hearing someone that has a different worldview and then you trying to convince them to believe in yours. It just doesn't work. Now, there can be some very compelling arguments, indeed. But of all of the conversations, discussions, diatribes, and debates that exist, there is literally nothing. Nothing. No idea, no policy, no thought, no vision for this country that will get me to vote for Donald Trump. There is nothing that can be said. And I have a level of respect for people that, like, that's their guy, that's their candidate, or maybe it's party loyalty that has them with the GOP. Fair enough. I wish you the best. May the best candidate win come November 5th. But you just can't convince me, because my expectations for this nation and how policy and resources are delivered to people most in need fundamentally differs from what he is. I think he's a horrible example of a human being. Someone like him shouldn't be anywhere near public policy. He's a bad example. Now, he might be a really nice guy once he stops acting. Maybe if you just sit. No, he's not, because the press secretary lady said he calls his supporters basement dwellers. And I believe it. He ain't got no respect for those people. He didn't do anything for these small towns in West Virginia and other places where they just get so captivated by him. They're still dying of pills and heroin and fentanyl. And what he's trying to do is, oh, no. Blame the people that are coming across the border. They're bringing all the fentanyl. Even if you were able to stop that drug from coming into this country, you still have a problem with addiction. And that requires you to care about people that are dealing with substance abuse. And Donald Trump has no policy to deal with that. And you know that he doesn't. He's trying to get people who are already afraid of the others coming over here and taking your jobs and taking your tax money or whatever it is you think that they're taking. He would rather get you to be focused on them and to blame them instead of looking at him as the one who is dividing every damn body. Unbelievable. But again, I wouldn't call a conservative talk radio show and be like, hey, you're wrong, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. No, I just know that that's not for me, because everything ain't for everybody. And I think that over time, we get so consumed with social media because our algorithms basically just tell us and show us all the stuff that we want to see. All the things that we agree with, all the people that have like minds. And so when we hear something that does not coincide with our internal beliefs, it causes this thing called cognitive dissonance. It makes us feel uncomfortable and uneasy. So we got to change the mind of that person, because lo and behold, we all have different experiences, and we do. And I respect people that I don't agree with. I got friends that I don't agree with. I just don't talk to them about certain stuff because there's no point. They're not going to convince me. I'm not going to convince them. But that is not who our identities are as people. We still got other stuff in common. I just don't talk to these folks about the politics. And typically when I talk to my friends about politics, I've got a unfair advantage. Because I've done the work for a very long time. It's not fair for me to. It's like the senior class president trying to argue with the principal of the school. I'm sure the senior class president probably knows a lot of stuff for being 17 or 18 years old and living with their mama and not having a job and having zero responsibilities. I'm sure they know a lot. But the principal has just a wealth of experience. All right. Gene says, my 10-year-old understands the Electoral College works. There are amazing videos for children on YouTube, just saying. And then LT said, it's electoral, not electorial. I would think that everybody in this country, did we stop teaching civics? I think we might have. Maybe we just don't teach civics. I had a government class that I had to take. It was mandatory to graduate from Brown Deer High School. I had to take a mandatory government class. And we actually enacted a full session of Congress. It was an entire day where we had a minority leader. We had a Speaker of the House. We had political parties. We had a bill. We had markup. We had committees. This is when I was 17 years old. I knew how a bill became a law at the federal level. In fact, Tom Barrett just got elected to Congress. That was in 1992. I was in 11th grade. I'll never forget it. Tom Barrett had just been elected. He came and sat in on our mock session for our government class of a day of Congress. So I knew all of that to graduate from high school. Something else that I had to know to graduate from Brown Deer High School is we had to learn how to invest in stocks. We had a stock project was like 98% of our grade in that class. Those of you that went to Brown Deer and had Mr. Carpenter, may he rest in peace. If you didn't do your stock project, you were not passing economics. You were not going to get a high school diploma. And this is back when you had to look in the newspaper to get stock prices every single day. And we had to chart them every single day for a whole semester. We got a fictional amount of money. We picked 10 or 15 stocks. We had to watch them every single day. In fact, stock prices were in fractions. It wasn't, you had to like round to the nearest dollar. It was 12 and 3/8 and 12 and 1/2 and 36 and 2/3. So coming out of high school, I knew how government worked, at least at the federal level. It all works the same way, basically, at every level of government. You got a judicial branch. You got a legislative branch. You have an executive branch. The federal level, the executive is the president. The legislative branch is in two houses, a bicameral system. You have the lower house, which is the House of Representatives, and you have the upper house, which is the U.S. Senate, and then you have the courts. The courts determine the constitutionality of the executive action and legislative action. However, legislative action can supersede that of the courts. It all works out. Legislative action can put a bill together. The president can veto the bill, or the president can sign the bill. President gets to appoint a certain number of people to their cabinet. President gets to, under the advice and consent of the U.S. Senate, gets to appoint people to the federal bench. That's literally it. At the state level, you have an executive. Who is that? That's your governor. At the state level, you have a bicameral system right there. You've got the upper chamber, which is the state Senate, or the lower chamber. We call them the state assembly in Wisconsin. Other states call them the state house or their state Congress. We also have courts, circuit court judges. Simple. City of Milwaukee, same damn thing. Got an executive. That's the mayor. Not a bicameral system, a monocameral system. We have a common council, 15 members. They're the legislative branch, and we have the municipal courts. 1, 2, 3 branches of municipal court. That's it. Very simple. Popular vote is one thing. The Electoral College is another. The Electoral College is a number that is assigned to a state. 2 members for every U.S. senator. You have 2 Electoral College votes, plus the number of members you have in the House of Representatives, which is apportioned by population. Every 500,000 people, you get another member of the House. Very simple. You add that number up. The first presidential candidate to get to 270 electoral votes gets inaugurated on January 20th. Always January 20th, never January 19th, never January 21st, always on January 20th. That's it. Now, it gets a little bit complicated once you start filling in the other blanks of how policy works, because then you got to introduce politics. That is the poetry that is used to get public support or get special interest support or get legislative support for ideas. That's where it can get kind of confusing. But the structure of our government in this country, it could not be more simple, because it's the same way at every single level. Executive, legislative, judicial. You got a president. You have an executive, which is a mayor or a county executive. You have a county board. You have alderpersons. You have the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. And you always got to have some courts and some judges. There you go. Now go and tell your children. And so they know how it works as well. The Truth was short when he was on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Because everybody is asking, our Beyond the Mic Happy Hour Mixer Series has been a hit this summer. As the summer comes to a close, we want to celebrate it with you. Join our Truth team for Beyond the Mic with Sherwin Hughes Friday, August 30th from 5 until 7 p.m. in Mr. B's Lounge located at 8617 West on Brown Deer Road. There will be delicious cocktails, food, great conversations, Chula Vista Resort stay giveaways, and so much more. Can't wait to see you on Friday, August 30th. Now, right here, they say from 4 until 7. So I don't even, just come there at 4 o'clock. And The Truth is home of Marquette University High School Championship Football. We have a big-time matchup this week as two traditional football powers clash. Tune in on Friday night as defending Division I state championship, the Marquette Hilltoppers, take on the Arrowhead Warhawks. Kickoff is set for 7 p.m. Friday Night Football on The Truth is presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. It's already football season again. What else we got here? It's still August? Yeah, I guess it is still August. August is Black Business Month, and the award-winning 101.7 The Truth is teaming up with Associated Bank to celebrate the excellence of Black-owned businesses. Together, we and Associated Bank are committed to uplifting local organizations and supporting those Black businesses. This is why Cary will be hosting a Black Business Spotlight show on Monday, August 26th from 6 until 7 p.m. And she will spotlight three locally owned Black businesses and tell the stories of their success. Whatever your financial needs are, Associated Bank and Help, member FDIC. So August 30th from 5 to 7, 4 until 7. I don't know if Dr. Ken is going to broadcast again. If he does, we'll probably start it at 4 o'clock. Someone had inquired about Donald Trump being in jail right around the time of the next political debate. So he is scheduled to be sentenced September 18th. Originally, the sentencing was supposed to take place in July. His lawyer successfully filed for a delay that has been delayed. His sentencing has been delayed until September 18th. Now, here's what Judge Tanya Chutkan and others are trying to decide. With the Supreme Court ruling that gives Donald Trump, and quite honestly, Joe Biden, and will be Kamala Harris too, almost complete and total immunity from prosecution when they are operating in the constitutional authority granted to them, they cannot be prosecuted. So even if they're doing something which would be illegal for anybody else, the Supreme Court, gives the president, the executive of the United States, special latitude because the decisions that a president has to make in a split second cannot be hindered or hampered by a president's fear of prosecution. So a lot of things that Donald Trump did that we believed were illegal were actually constitutional. So some of the things that he has been either accused of or convicted of all have to get looked at again to see if this Supreme Court ruling negates some of his charges. So September 18th is the date that's on paper right now that he is scheduled to be sentenced. I expect his attorneys to use what I just said to further delay that sentencing until after the election. That is likely to happen. And even if, let's say, the sentencing does take place on September 18th, he's not going to jail. I don't think he'll go to jail. He won't do any time in confinement. There's going to be some loophole or something. I just don't see him going to jail. It would be almost too poetic and too perfect if he did. I just don't see that happening. It also has been communicated to the world that it would be a logistical nightmare for him to actually serve time in confinement. Like, he'll probably get 30 days of house arrest. So he'll spend 30 days in Mar-a-Lago or Bedminster, his golf resort in New Jersey. And that's probably where he will complete his sentence. But then if he gets elected, he also can pardon himself. So who knows how this thing is going to ultimately play out. But to expect him to go to jail is a pretty lofty expectation. Should he? Absolutely. Anybody else that breaks that many laws and is found guilty of a jury of your peers, yeah, you should go to jail or whatever state law says is the penalty. I think he's facing like 4.5 years for the crimes, his financial crimes in New York, something like that. But I doubt he'll see any time in confinement. All right. Linda says that Barbara, the judge pushed back the sentencing when the Supreme Court gave him immunity. Yep, that's correct. That's correct, Linda. All right, let's see what else we got for text messages. There's something I want to ask you guys, but I don't want to start that conversation until hour three. And it relates to African-Americans who are descendants from slaves. Very specific to us. And as we look at that dreadful history, which is still very much a part of us today. And I say that because depends on who you ask. They have a different understanding and interpretation of chattel slavery in the United States from 1619 through June 19th, 1865. Every person, it seems, has a different understanding of what the institution was, what it did, what it created, the wealth that it instituted, how the American economy in the South was set up because of chattel slavery. And people still don't quite understand the ripple effects that exist today. I would say because of chattel slavery, how African-Americans are looked at and treated is heavily influenced by that. Because you have people that come over here from other countries that don't look American, don't sound American. They may have dark skin, but they are not treated as poorly as African-Americans are. Because there weren't structures and institutions to keep those people under the thumb. Now, you can be racially discriminated against. Somebody cannot hire you for a job, or there can be, you know, other things that are racial in nature that are hurled at someone from, I don't know, let's say East India. But the police aren't killing East Indian kids. A Chinese child may come over here, a Chinese adult, they may get made fun of. They might even be a victim of a terrorist attack. But the police are not locking up Chinese people like they're locking up African Americans. They're not getting, like, somebody from South Korea is not getting racially profiled like somebody who was African American. So the impact of slavery on our image to this day still exists, because when other minorities come to this country, they don't suffer the disparities like we did. There's something very particular and specific about us, and we'll talk about that in hour three, which is coming up. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.